not, but I do. How many in here are fathers? How was your trip, young man? How was your trip? Did you do good? Come here and tell everybody what you did. Can you just right here? Go here. Go. Okay. Right here. You pull it down a little further. He's really tall. Tell him what you did. They were doing some awesome stuff. Keep on going, bro. I'm sorry. That's awesome. Awesome! Isn't God good? Well, thank you, bro. Me and Keith don't play a game with that. We play find it. Look, I want y'all. Yeah. Okay. You got one? Okay. Look, I want y'all to stand back up. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art one more time. I got the guys to stay, and then I saw little man over there, and I said, we got to get him up here, amen. And so it's my fault. Y'all, musicians, y'all can stand. I mean, y'all can see it. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art. Go ahead.
So my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Give the Lord a hand, clap of praise. All right, every father in here, raise your hand. With the exception of one father, everybody's got his hands full. Don't raise your hand as you raise the baby. And look, let me tell you something. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're a man in here, you're a father. You may see. How do I know that? Because you're a father. You're an influence. Father is influence. Fatherhood is influence. Matter of fact, how many got the Mighty Army today? The Mighty Army said, let me pull it up here. Mighty Army, Dad, your guiding hand on my shoulder will remain with me forever. Thank you. Happy Father's Day. That's awesome. So whether you actually gave birth to a child physically, gave birth to a child emotionally, gave birth to a child mentally, or gave birth to a child spiritually, every man in this place is a father. Amen? That's right. And we all have influence. Matter of fact, that's what it is, influence. Can somebody say influence? Amen. Hey, he was quick. He pulled all that stuff up and didn't even know it. Amen. Oscar was going to step over it, fall over it. Amen. Well, we got some stuff for Father. Every year we give duct tape and all kinds of stuff And so this year we're going to do something different for the men. I'd have rather had duct tape, but, you know. Look, I'm going to do something very cool. Can y'all catch? If I throw it, can y'all catch, guys? All right, pass it behind you. You get one too, bro. All right. Okay, look. Oh, Keith, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. They better not throw it. Okay, I'm sorry, bro. We come back from Belize and we beat him right to start with. Look, see, guys, we want to do something different. We got candy, so if we're going to get candy, we can't be called pansy, so you got to catch it. All right, ready? Isn't that cool? Y'all guys are doing good. That's granddaddy's. Yeah, the one I threw. We got candy, if you didn't know it. It's flying candy. Oh, that's good. Oh, I got this. Look, here we go. That's for hubby. Oh, no. We ain't gonna do that one. No, that ain't gonna happen. Look, yo, see how, guys, we got candy, but we ain't pansies. Amen. I'm getting Eddie right now. Eddie, I'm going to throw you from way up here. Ready? Who did I miss? All right, here you go, Brandon. Here you go, Brandon. You get to throw mine to me. That was awesome. There, Eddie. Who's a mess? Okay. See, did you see that? See that pattern I got right there in the side like that? Okay. That was funny. Did you hear what Billy said? Brother Billy said, I carry Steve one, but I don't know if he ever see it or not. That was good. Did y'all look at it? It says, God loves you to pieces. Y'all look at it. It says, God loves you to pieces. All right. God loves you all to Reese pieces. Amen. Today, if y'all didn't know, today is Father's Day. Amen. Now, I have to tell you, this has been, I don't know why it was so hard for me this year. Because the Lord already told me what to do, but he wouldn't tell me how to do it. And so, last night, I finished this at 3 o'clock in the morning. So, I'm telling you, it was just kind of hard. And I'm not sure exactly why. I honestly believe because this, every Sunday, spiritual warfare. Every Sunday. Every sermon, spiritual warfare. And I just believe that this is going to be some of the heaviest spiritual warfare that we've done in a while. And really say heaviest is because you realize how heavy, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but how heavy the responsibility is on the shoulders of every dad in here. Every dad. Whether you're a spiritual dad, physical dad, mental dad, emotional dad, it doesn't matter. You're a dad. Amen? And you don't have to give birth to a child to be their spiritual dad. Like I think about Brother Haslip was my spiritual father. And Brother Haslip taught me a lot. And when Brother Haslip called me up, I always stopped and listened every time because I knew he was going to tell me something. Did everybody get one? I'm looking about. Jimmy, did I give you one? Did you get one? Jimmy. Okay, I'll make sure because I got thrown so fast I wasn't sure about it. And then I got stopped for the little fellow back there. I didn't want to hit him. Amen. I didn't want to hit the little fellow. I didn't want to hit Liam either. No, he's too big to hit. Look, all those guys back there are too big. If I hit one of those guys, they'll hurt me back. So we ain't going to do that. Amen. So get your Bible out. Again, this is going to be, you're going to think, wow, what a Father's Day message. But like I said, it's spiritual warfare. And I want you all to pay careful attention. First of all, let me do this before you stand. Let me just show you this. Top 10 reasons why. How many know it's good to be a man? How many likes being a man? I have to admit, there was a time when I was a man trapped in a woman's body. But then I was born. All right. The top 10 reasons why it's good to be a man. Phone conversations can be over in 30 seconds flat. Can. They don't always. If you're on the phone with me, I'm pretty sure I'd break that record multiple times a day. Next, a five-day holiday requires only one suitcase. Yeah, gym bag. That's all it takes. Gym bag. Some of the ladies, I mean, I've gone with Linda, and I've gone and I got that one little bitty bag, and I feel like I'm moving to Nebraska. Okay. Number three, when clicking through the channels, listen carefully. And this is bad. When your wife has the remote control, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're clicking through the channels, you don't have to stall at every shot of somebody crying. Number four. Guys with hockey masks don't attack you unless you're playing hockey. Number five. You only need two or three pair of shoes. Amen? Okay, well, most of the time. Okay. DC was shaking his head. I understand, DC. I try to wear it. You know, I went and got Bethany some shoes yesterday at Dollar Tree. They were half price. So I told her, I said, buy one shoe, get one free. All right. Car mechanics tell you the truth. Oh, that was heavy. That was heavy. That was deep. Yeah. All right. I love this one. You can admire Clint Eastwood without starving yourself to look like him. Go ahead. Make my day. Chubby. All right. Gray hair and wrinkles only add character. Matter of fact, white is the new gray. Y'all know that, don't you? Number 10. If another guy, excuse me, we can do our nails during one traffic light. Wife getting in the car and said, what is all these little things and where did they come from? Last traffic light. Number 10, if another guy shows up at a party in the same outfit, you just might become lifelong buddies. Matter of fact, you know what we say when somebody's got the same shirt on? I go, oh, you got the memo. Yeah, all right. A woman goes, I can't go in there. She's wearing the same thing I'm wearing. What? Number 11. I love this. The occasional well-rendered belch is practically expected. Somebody look at your wives. Y'all do that too, huh? And number 12. Best thing about being a man is we get to be dads. Isn't that cool? Give all the dads a hand clap. Okay, now, this is what I was going to tell you. This may not look like Father's Day, but it will be. You'll find out in just a minute. Dying words, life words. That's all stand for the reading of the word. Dying words, life words. You got your Bible, say amen. You don't say, oh, me. And ask somebody, can you look on with them? First Chronicles, we're gonna kind of read them out of order, but that's okay, because I couldn't find out, I didn't know exactly which order to put them in, so I put them in the wrong order, thinking they might come out right. Ready? First Chronicles 22, if you don't know what First Chronicles is, it's right before Second Chronicles. Verse 9, behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all of his enemies round about. His name shall be Solomon, and I will give him peace and quiet unto Israel in his days. And he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I'll be his father, and I will establish the throne of the kingdom of Israel forever. And I want you to think about this now. Look, he's already saying who's going to build the house. He's already telling you what's going on. This is something you ain't got to figure out. It's already here, right? Now turn to 1 Chronicles 28. In verse 9, fathers, y'all do have a tough job because, you know, we have to kind of, we take the heat a lot of times for the whole family. I know mothers do too, but it ain't Mother's Day, it's Father's Day. And I know my mother, I was talking to some people the other day, and they were talking about, how did you and your daddy get along, how you and your mama get along, and I told them, I said, well, when it comes to playing ball, when it comes to playing badminton, when it comes to playing checkers, whatever, come playing catch, I always played. My mom went out and played with us because dad seemed to always be working. And then when dad weren't working, dad really weren't interested. It was when we got to be teenagers and got cars, then dad got interested. And so then we started working with dad then with cars, but until that time it was mom. But I think about this thing, and because of that, I said my boys are going to know what it's like to learn how to play catch from their dad. Amen. Of course, DC and Daniel will tell you some things that make you get scared of me. And like I said, I put them up against the wall to play catch. You got to understand before they tell you that, because then they're going to tell you that before you leave today. Let me go ahead and explain. I got tired of chasing the ball. So I didn't put them up against the wall and strap them and throw stuff at them. They just stood in front of the wall. So if they missed, they didn't have to chase it down. I could not help it if it bounced back and hit them. All right. So, all right. No, really. Here we go. So verse 28, or chapter 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know that the Lord God is thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Father. Let me finish that verse 10. I left that one off. Take thee now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're awesome, that you have our best interest always in your heart and in your mind. And even when your actions seem to contradict what we think in our own mind, I thank you, God, that you said your ways are not our ways. And God, you're more concerned with our character than you are our comfort. And I thank you, God, that you have not left us alone, that you have not forsaken us, that we stand, Lord, always with you, knowing that you've got our back. You're with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we love you. The church said, amen. You can be seated way down and get somebody a high five, low five, no five. How many males did we just have come in? How many males? Two? Two males? You got to officially catch this now. All the guys had them thrown because we're getting candy this year instead of duct tape. So to prove that we're not pansies, y'all got to catch them. Ready? All right. Now look on that thing. God loves you. Ready? Father's Day, dying words, life words. Now, the first part was God talking to Solomon, but the second part was David talking to Solomon. So I just wanted to just go over this. It shouldn't take too long. Amen. But every time I say that, yeah. Let me ask you a question now. Fathers, when we die, not if we die, when I die, and I know it's not an if, it is definite. Would you love to leave behind words of wisdom for your children? Amen. You know, I actually read a couple that really were amazing to me. Conrad Hilton was born in 1887. Over the next 92 years, he built a dynasty of hotels around the world. On his deathbed, just before he died, Hilton was asked if he had... Is this on? Check. Yeah, it is. Okay. Just before he died, Hilton was asked if he had any last words of wisdom for the world. And these were the words that Hilton went out with. Leave the shower curtain on the outside of the tub. Wow. What kind of last words? And do you remember the story of Samuel Upton on his deathbed? Samuel Upton, or Upham, had been a professor at Drew Theological Seminary for years. And as he lay dying, friends gathered about, and a question arose as to whether he was still living or not. Someone advised, feel his feet. No one ever died with warm feet. And Dr. Upham opened one eye and said, Joan of Arc did. Okay. All right, what about this? Here we go. Let's go ahead and go. So, famous last words. This is something very, very profound, very powerful. And again, I want you to watch this. We're not going to look at necessarily his exact dying words, because his exact dying words are a little bit different. But these are the ending words of David. David knows that he's dying. David knows that Solomon is going to take his place. And this has been a whole thing, has been a controversy, because David had sinned with Bathsheba, and the baby died. But after that, the Bible says that David comforted Bathsheba, and they had another child. And so it shows God's power, even when we mess up. Because even though David had messed up and that baby died, the next baby come along was Solomon. And Solomon means peace. And so here it is. God showed that, you know what? No matter how bad we mess up, he can still forgive us and still do something great. Even out of the worst tragedy that we got, he can still make something happen. Amen? So this morning, we're going to look at not his last words, but actually at the end of his life as he's trying to prepare for Solomon. Because here it is. Listen. King David had come to the end of his rule. It was the end of his life. And so now he prepares to meet God. But not only that, he's putting his house in order. He assembles the leader of Israel, the leaders, and he starts to tell them what's going to happen as the transfer of power takes place. And here's where I think about guys now and all these young men that I know and the older guys as they get older, I see a transition in their life. You see, not only was David giving his son the responsibility to rule Israel, think about this now, not only was he giving his son the responsibility to rule Israel, but David holds his dreams out for his son to embrace. You see, it was in David's heart to build a house for God. David said, I want to build this house for God, but God said, you cannot build this house for me because you've been a man of war. You've been a man of blood. You shed a lot of blood. Now, he did God's will. God sent him out as a warrior. But God said, that's not what's going to build my house. What's going to build my house is peace, because my house is going to be a house of peace. The ark is going to rest here. There's going to be rest in my house. And so, David, you've been a man of war. You've been a bad dude. You have killed a lot of men. And you're not going to build the house, but you are going to prep the house. And so what he did was he went and got materials and got stuff ready for his son. But he knew that he was not going to build it. Solomon was. Now let me tell you something. Isn't the way fathers are? Myself. I hope my sons will do what I couldn't do. Amen? I hope my sons will achieve what I couldn't achieve, and I hope my sons could be what I couldn't be. You know, you look at your dad, and you think, man, you may be looking at your dad right now and thinking, he's an awesome man, he done a lot for me, but you know what? Your dad, I guarantee, is looking at you saying, I hope that he does better than I did. I hope that he steps beyond what I stepped to. I don't want the next generation to be behind me. I want the next generation to be leading. So when the next generation comes, they'll have a wonderful example to follow, and then they can lead. It's an amazing thing. And as you become a father, you understand this stuff. I want my children to go way beyond what I did. And I can look and I can see some things, and I know that they've gone beyond me. And one of the biggest things is right now, just to give a small example, is music. I was playing music. My boys were born. They wanted to play music. When I saw that it was a good thing in their life, then I began to put music in their hands, and they began to play. And I remember sitting at the dinner table when DC was 1 year old. Jimmy Swagger, we only had gospel music one night a week. And so when it came on, they were playing whatever people would call in, request. And somebody would say, "Now, coming up, Jimmy Swagger, never been this homesick before." And if I couldn't get to the radio fast enough, when it started singing, DC would stand up in his high chair. And he would start doing it every time. "I'd never been as homesick," came on. And then it said, "See the bright light shine?" He'd go. And I had to stand at the high chair and hold his leg so he wouldn't fall out. And every time we get in church and we start playing in church, he would stand up in the pew and start going. And I said, "I got a feeling that boy's going to be a musician." Yeah, amen. Amen. So, but again, you know, I want my boys to far exceed what I could do. My daughter, I wanted to far exceed what I could do. My kids, I wanted to far go beyond. So see, David had dreamed of building a temple. But more important than the kingdom that he dreamed of building a temple, but more important than the kingdom that he gave his son, it was that vision of the kingdom that he gave his son. It was the challenge that he presented. You know, we live in a day, and I it makes me sick at my stomach. I go sometimes to see, and it's a day where everybody gets an award for showing up. Make sure you don't hurt anybody's feelings. Give everybody an award if they just showed up once or twice. Still give them the award like everybody else. So it makes the hard workers not want to work so hard. And it makes the guys that may have stepped up to the plate, don't worry about it, because no matter what, I'm going to get an award. That's the time we live in. You know, my wife, she's got a temporary worker to come in to help with some computer programming. And she come in, and he was sitting up in his chair. I can't do it, even if I could. I don't think I could. He sat up in his chair, and he had his legs crossed like the Sami. And Linda come in and says, "I got to have this done." He said, "Well, hold on, homie, I'll have it for you in a minute if you just wait." And Linda told me, she said, "I'm not feeling too good about this." And I said, "Well, that's because you've got the millennial that hasn't been taught better." And so what she tries, when she does have people come in, she wants them from the military and older people. She says, "A Marine will find a way, especially the Hollywood Marines." They will find a way. And she said, the older guys, she said, "But some of these people just think because they've come up with just give me an award. I'm not going to call you when I'm not coming in. I'm not going to let you know I'm not going to be there. I'm even going to take some work and hide it under the desk and not do it and tell you I did, because I'm going to get my award for showing up." Wow. You see, David knew this. And so David, this is way on back then. David is presenting this challenge. You see, in 1 Chronicles 28:3, he said, "God said to me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because I've been a man of war and has shed blood. But he said, but you have a son. He's going to be a man of peace. He's not going to be a man of war. He's going to be a man of peace. And I will give him peace with his enemies, and they're going to surround." I mean, it's going to be awesome. All the peace and the quiet. Peace and quiet. Isn't that awesome? Y'all listen. Be real quiet. Be real quiet. Isn't that awesome? Peace and quiet. Amen. You know, Solomon winds up being king, and God says, "What do you want, Solomon? You just name it, I'll give it to you." He said, I just want wisdom. So God gave him wisdom. So God's going to give him wisdom how to build this temple. Watch this, though. There was this pastor, and his staff went out one day, and an angel appeared to them and made the same offer. He said, well, what he actually said was, "You can have anything you want. You can be the most famous pastor in the world. Your church could have incredible wealth, or you could have an immense wisdom and be the smartest man in the world." Well, the pastor thought back what had happened with Solomon and said, "I'll take the wisdom." The angel replied, "Okay, as you ask," and he disappeared. The associate pastors gathered around to hear this newfound wisdom of their leader. And one of them said, "Well, what are you thinking?" And the pastor looked up and said, I should have took the money. Okay, y'all, you got to think about that one. He got wisdom, and the wisdom was, okay. All right, so let's go ahead. We're going to go ahead. See all these words I got up there? As for you, my son Solomon, know that, here's what he's telling. Here's his last, some of his last words. They're not all of his last words, but this is the beginning of his last words. And maybe later on we'll do his exact last words, but here it is. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you out forever. I like this version. And you, Solomon, my son, get to know well your father's God. Serve him with a whole heart and eager mind. For God examines every heart and sees through every motive. If we seek him, he'll make sure you find him. But if we abandon him, he'll leave you for good. Look sharp now. God has chosen you to build his holy house. Be brave, determined, and do it. So I'm going to break this down, just let that little bit down, and then we're going to go have fun with our fathers. Ready? First thing he said was search. He said, as for you, Solomon, know the God of your father. Now watch. Know the God of your father. He's talking about the word know means relationship. You know, I've talked to people many times, and I said, and I'll talk to them at Emmaus, at the prison. Especially at the prison, or wherever I might be at it, when they're saying they need something from God, I know the first thing I always ask them is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? In the prison, at food line, in the checkout line, wherever it may be, a good 5 or 6 times out of 10, when I ask them to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, even if they say yes to begin with, as we get talking, I say, well, how do you know? And they'll say, because my granddaddy is a deacon in the church. That's not a personal relationship. Do you know that you're saved? How do you know? Well, my mama, she's a praying woman. That's not it. I taught my boys a long time ago, boys, I cannot put you in a suitcase and carry you to heaven. You got to get there on your own. You've got to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's got to be your personal Savior. He's got to be your heavenly Father. It's important as fathers that we teach our children, look, this is not you get a trophy for showing up. You have to be born again. Here's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I know many of y'all like it too, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to break it down for you. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That says, train up a child in the way he shall go. In the way he shall go means find his bent, B-E-N-T. It's really a bent twig. It's talking about a bent branch. And what it is you find what your child is good at. Look at him, watch him, find what your child is good at. And when you find what he's good at, then feed that thing. And it says, train him up in the way he shall go. Once you find his bent, if you'll go ahead and feed that bent, then as he gets older, you're feeding strengths. You're not feeding weaknesses. And as they get older and older, then they will take it and run with it. I saw my boys in sports. I saw my boys in engineering. I saw my boys in music. And so what I did was I put it in their hands at an early age. I was always asking them questions, always trying to help them have an analytical mind with engineering. I always tried to put music in their hands. I always tried to make sure that they played the kind of sports they wanted to play. And I would tell them, fellas, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to tell you this. Once you say you want to, you're not quitting until I say you quit. Because it's too easy just to stop. And so they wouldn't quit. They'd go, Daddy, I just don't want to do it anymore. And I go, didn't I tell you that you chose what you want to do? But I'm watching. You got potential. We're gonna follow this thing through. And so watch this, though. That word train up. Actually, it means, watch this. This is, listen, men. It speaks, the Hebrew midwives would take sugar and they would take honey and they made a concoction. And it was kind of sticky. And they would take the Hebrew children, the infants, and they would take this little concoction and they would put it on the roof of the baby's mouth. It was sticky and it was sweet. And so the Hebrew children would start doing this. And what they were doing is they were causing them to develop that sucking sensation. It was causing them to help them to take the food in from their mother, from their mother's breast, by taking that sugar and that honey and putting it there so the baby would have to do this. And so you were encouraging the baby to eat. And it says, train up a child, the sugar and the honey. In other words, live the example before them so they want to do it too. Wow. If I live the example before them, that's the sugar and the honey. And once I find they're bent, I watch them and see what they're good at. And once I start putting it in their hands, then, watch this, then it's amazing what can happen if we'll do that. So fathers, don't just tell them about Jesus, live it. I've heard so many people, and I'm not talking about my dad. My dad did the best he can. I'm not cutting my dad down. Please don't think I'm cutting my dad down. He did the best he could with what he knew, because he went beyond what he was taught. But he came and told me one day, he said, you need to go to church at least one time every Sunday. I said, well, what about you, Dad? He said, I'll be home cooking chicken. And I said, wait a minute. I need to go to church. He says, yeah, it's good for you. I said, but you're going to be home cooking chicken. He says, yeah, we always like chicken on Sunday. I said, but don't you need to go with us? He said, no, I'll take care of the chicken. And you and your mama, y'all take care of your spiritual self. And he's 76 years old right now. And bless his heart, 70, almost 77. And he'll do it right now. He'll get in the back, he'll get back there in his gazebo. And all the kids will come up and say, y'all going to church? You need to go to church. You need to go to church. And I said, Daddy, you going to go to church? I got other things to do. Watch this. I'm not cutting down my dad. I love my dad. I'm not cutting him down. But I would feel bad to tell my kids, you're going to church while I sit home. Get involved with your kids, with God. It's important. It is so important. It is so, so important. And I know I had a rough life coming up because one day I was taking D.C. to a teen talent in the Church of God. And we had some other people we were taking to the teen talent. And I'm coming up and I drive up to a gas station in Greenville with a van, the church van. I get out with a suit on. And the guy behind the counter was a friend I grew up with. I didn't know he owned that gas station. And he said, Cricket! I said, yeah. He says, they burying you today? I said, why? I said, look at that suit. I said, I'm going to a teen talent. He said, for who? I said, my son. He said, what kind of teen talent? I said, I'm a Church of God pastor. He went, I said, no. I'm a Church of God pastor. He said, maybe Larry and Gary, but not you. He said, I would think you'd be on serving death on death row right now. I said, no. I'm a Church of God pastor. He said, ha, ha. So I gave him my card. He said, you can get them made up $3, $4 anywhere. I said, well, look out there. It's a church van. He said, you probably stole it. I said, no, I am a pastor. My son is participating in teen talent. He's playing the drums in teen talent. And he laughed at me and said, just get your gas and go. You're full of it. Just go. But you see, my boys don't know what it's like to be forced to go without me going with them and being there with them and holding their hand through some things. So I'm telling you, it's important that we train up a child in the way they should go. That's search. Teach them to search. But not only teach them to search, and I'm trying to hurry up. It says that now, not only know the God of your father, watch this, but serve him. Serve. You know, it's one thing to be part of the crowd. It's another thing to participate. You know, I remember when I was training the EMT, and they told us we were certified in three different arenas for CPR, American Red Cross, American Heart Association, and whatever that was that we were training under. So we had three different certifications for CPR. And so we're doing this CPR training. And while we're doing the CPR training, one instructor looked at us and said, now you know how to save a life. You haven't got your stuff back yet from the state, but I don't want to hear tell of you seeing somebody have a heart attack and you walk away because you're not certified yet. And I said, who in the world would do that? He said, one of my last students. Said he come on a man having a heart attack, and he was the only one there that knew CPR, and he would not do it because he hadn't got a certification yet. and the man died. And the other guy knew how to do it. But he wouldn't because he didn't think he was qualified. Well, you know what? God ain't calling you because you're qualified. God's calling you to help because God wants to use you and he'll qualify you. Amen? Your kids need to see you working for God. Your kids need to see you serving. And when they see you serving God and seeing all that, it's an amazing thing that happens because when you start serving, they start serving. You know, I've gone along before and I've seen D.C. or Daniel and I'm going, son, why'd you give all that away? You needed that. And they'll go, well, Dad, we're just following what we've seen you do. And then what do I say? Okay. I'd hate for them to say, well, Dad, I'm doing something you would never do. No. See, it's important that we serve and we let our children see us serving, not so we can get a medal, not so that we've got to get anything. Because there's things, Lord knows, it don't matter if people know because God's keeping a record. But it's important that your children see and they know that you do it and you do it with gladness and you do it humbly and that you do it in a way that your children, again, here it is, the honey and the sugar. God's watching. It's important that we do that with our children. So serve. And serve him. That word serve means to be a bond servant. It means you've been bought out. He caught you in sin. He bought you and he made you a free man. And now you're serving him because you love him. And not only do you serve him because you love him, part of that is worship. So now I'm serving God because I want to, not because somebody's making me serve God. Lord knows I don't want, you know, I sit back and think about, well, you need to go to church at least once a week. No, carry me to church once a week and I'll go. Don't tell me I got to go and you sit back and talk about the chicken's got to be cooked. No, we can go to McDonald's. We can go to Burger King. We can eat sandwiches. Cook the chicken the night before. So, serve. Next one, satisfied. He says, know the God of your father, serve him with a perfect heart. Now, let me show you what this perfect heart means. It doesn't mean that you're perfect and without flaw. Anybody here without flaw, raise your hand, and I'll tell you right then. Your first flaw is you like to tell one every now and then. There's nobody in here perfect that way. That word perfect means to be finished, complete. It means to keep the covenant. Wow. What it means. You're keeping the covenant with God. God, I'm not perfect by any means, but God, I want to keep my covenant with you. David actually was worse than Saul. Saul did some bad things along the way and the kingdom was taken from him, but David actually was worse than Saul in some of the things he'd done. But when Saul died, he died on his own sword, a broken man, watched his kids die in front of him in the battlefield, and his own man wouldn't even stab him, so he had to die. He fell on his own sword, so he committed suicide out on the field. David, on the other hand, man, he wasn't a good father at all. He had a very terrible family life. His kids were fighting all the time, and they were doing some very bad things. A dysfunctional family was invented by David. So here's David, and he's not trying to do anything. So here's David, a dysfunctional family. David gets Bathsheba, gets her there, and he winds up having relations with her. And when he finds out that she's pregnant, has Uriah, her husband, brought back in, trying to make it look like he had relations with her. But he was such a strong man, he would not lay with his wife. Instead, he laid on the doorstep and said, why should I lay with my wife when all my friends are on the battlefield? And they're not doing this. And so David had to wind up sending a note back with him, with Uriah, giving it to Joab, saying, put him in the front of the battle, so that and knowing that he would die. So he got put in the front of the battle. He got killed. David took Bathsheba. But God saw the baby died. But God gave Solomon. David had some bad stuff going on. But you know what? In the end, David didn't fall on his own sword. In the end, God said he was a man after my own heart. Wow, you know the difference? The same difference in Peter and with Judas. The Bible says after Judas betrayed God or Jesus, that he repented himself, meaning he felt sorry for himself, but he never took it to God. And so he wound up killing himself because he couldn't stand the pain. But Peter wept bitterly. He had godly sorrow and repentance. He carried it to God. And then Jesus reciprocated and come back and talk to him when he resurrected. The same way, David carried all of his mistakes to God, and God took care of it. But Saul kept it inside himself, and he wound up dying a broken man. So perfect, complete, keeping covenant, and heart means your knowledge, your courage, your emotions. Think about it. Your knowledge, your courage, your emotions. So a perfect heart. I'm keeping covenant. I know I mess up, but I'm still keeping covenant. That's why grace is so important. So satisfied. We need to let our kids know, look, we're satisfied in God. And we're working for God, and God's working for us. Almost through, y'all. Then surrendered. He said, know the God of your father, serve him with a perfect heart. But he also said, and with a willing mind. Now, willing mind. Willing means to delight, desire, and mind again, mind, will, emotions. Still a different word. One's more emotional, one's more with less emotions. This is with less emotions. But still, nobody's got to beat me with a stick to make me want to serve God. Has everything been perfect? No. Is there still a lot of battles? Yes. Is there a lot of struggle? Yes. But I tried it without him. It weren't too good. But with him, I've always got something to fall back on. I've got God to catch me. Even when I make my biggest mistakes, he's there. So serve him with a willing or the perfect heart, with a willing mind, be surrendered unto God. Surrender to him. You know, my boys know what it's like to see a man cry. I'm not talking about my dad. Please do not think I'm walking around talking about my dad. I'm not. But I've never seen him cry but one time, and that's when mama died. The only time. I see him get up and be John Wayne and walk out the room from time to time, or just say, suck it up, buttercup. My boys have seen me cry. Matter of fact, my boys have cried, and I've cried with them. We've gotten older and cried together. I remember when it was Sierra sitting in here. Sierra, I remember when you were born. And I was sitting there holding your daddy. I had my arm around your daddy's shoulder. And when daddy went in and saw you and he come back out, Sierra, guess what? Daddy was crying. And I put my arm around him and we cried together. See, real men cry. Amen. Matter of fact, I tell people all the time that said, this is bad. I'm crying. I go, no, as long as your head leaks, it won't swell. Just remember that. Real men ask for directions too. Amen. That's why I got Garmin. I did ask the lady, this is twice now. I asked the lady at Target the other day, I said, can you do me a favor? She said, what? I said, can you change this voice on this automatic checkout? She said, what's wrong with that voice? I said, this woman keeps telling me to, it weighs too much. I got the wrong stuff. I said, I just paid for it. It's right there. I put it right there. And she says that she can't calculate how much it weighs. And so take it off. Then she said, put it back up there. So I'm putting it back up there. And that woman kept saying, put it on, take it off. Put more money in, less money. And I said, you know what? I'm getting tired of women telling me what to do. Can you got a men's voice? Okay. So watch. Surrendered. And then finally, the Lord searches all your hearts and understands all the intents of your thoughts. Just know this. Savor in that. God knows me better than anybody. He still loves me. God knows me with all my mistakes. God knows me with all my sin. God knows me when he knows I'm not going to listen. God knows me. God knows me when I'm going to do it my way. God knows me when I'm going to put him on the shelf and I'm going to pull him down. He knows all of that. And he still loves me. Wow. That's amazing. So again, here we are. God's on top of it, savoring that. And so here's, in short, watch this. Words of life from Dad. You got a great task ahead of you, my son. Matter of fact, he's getting ready to build this temple. You got a great task ahead of you. You're going to finish what I started. Wow. You're going to finish what I started. I want every man in here to think about that for a minute. Your child has the challenge and the opportunity to finish what you started. Are you showing him how? Are you showing her how? Are you teaching him? DC, Bethany, can you do me a favor? Let's see. Who can run fast? DC? Oh, Sierra, run in my office and get that hammer that your daddy gave me. It's up on my... Look, when you go in my office, just look on the last stack of junk right here. And you'll see a hammer. I'm thinking, I got a possum on my door. I'm thinking about putting Sanford and Son sign on my door. Yeah, the possum's dead. He ain't smelling, though, praise God. He dried out now. I did have a friend tell me that he was in Korea, and while he was in Korea in the Air Force, he said the delicacy there was they would take a dead dog and they would stuff its belly full of rice and hang it up on the door or hang it up in the porch and let the sun dry the dog. And after the sun dried the dog, they would cut the belly open and eat the rice. It was a delicacy. Y'all could have gone all day without that, didn't you? Guys, I just got y'all. I just helped y'all out, and I had to spend so much money for lunch. One of the greatest gifts I've ever received, ever, from my children, is this right here. Is that a hammer? How in the world can it be a hammer? I put it so when I'm sitting in my office and I turn my head, I look at it, and I think about it. When I'm thinking about my children, I'm thinking about this hammer. Now, let me tell you something about this hammer. It looks like a regular hammer, don't it? Yeah, it's 16 ounce. Okay. Look, thank you for helping me build my life, DC. Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? See? And if I ever forget it, all I got to do is just... So what I'm trying to tell you is, once I opened that, it floored me. It just tore me up. So I got it in my office right where I can see it. And I remember that what I do makes a difference with my kids. Okay? You make sure you hit the right nail. That's right. That's exactly right. But the point I'm trying to make is, people, watch this. For our kids, they're going to finish what we started, whether you believe it or not. The challenge is going to be there. The opportunity is going to be there. They're going to finish what we started. But it can only be done with God's help. So while we've got them, no matter how old they are, while we got them, teach them to search for God. Teach them to serve Him. Teach them to be satisfied by Him. Teach them to surrender to Him. Teach them to savor in Him. And they will succeed. Amen? Guys, y'all come up here and play something. Here's what I want you to do. If your dad's here today, I want you to go get with him. Sit with him. If your dad's not here today and you see somebody here that's a dad and doesn't have anybody with them, remember, they don't have to be a physical dad. They can be a mental dad, an emotional dad, a mental dad, a spiritual dad. If you see a dad here today that doesn't have anybody, and you don't have anybody, go sit with him. If you see a dad here that doesn't have anybody with them and you're here and don't have anybody, go sit with them. And let them know that somebody cares. Matter of fact, when you go away from here, you can look over at the person and go, "Hey, Pop, how about let me hold 20? Right, Sierra, Beth, y'all come up here. Y'all get it right up here. Y'all got your dads. You got your dads right here. You can get with your dad over there. And Beth, you can get with your dad right here. And I'm right here with DC. I'm within throwing distance. All right. So now, sometimes you're a dad because you gave birth with your heart, with your body, and sometimes you gave birth with your heart. All right. So now, everything's okay. You can sit down now. Right here. You can stay with me while we're singing. Watch it. Everybody stand up. I'm going to give a blanket prayer out to all the dads. Father, I love you and I thank you for all these dads, whether they've given physical birth, mental birth, emotional birth, spiritual birth. I know that they're dads because somebody depends on them for information. There's a connection there. It's not like any other connection in the world. I ask you right now, Lord, touch them all. Give the dad strength. Give them wisdom. Give them understanding. Help them to make a stand. And help them, Lord, to teach their kids to search for God, to serve Him, to be satisfied by Him, to surrender to Him, to savor in Him. We thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Now I just want you to grab your dad and just pray for him. You pray for him. He's prayed for you enough. You pray for him. All right, fellas, y'all want to sing? We got something to sing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You got to pray for me. Pray for me. Don't pull me down. Pray for me. I can't hear you. Pray for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these families. Thank you, God, that you're working in our midst. Thank you, God, for touching. Thank you for the opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life. None of us are perfect, God, but we all love you. Touch us in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Close to stuff. I thought she said this stuff really hurts bad, and I said, what stuff? She said, no, the stool. I said, well, get off of it then. She got up. I said, sit back down. I noticed that she said, this stool. I thought she said, this stuff really hurts. Oh, praying for me hurts? No, the stool hurts. Okay, come back. Tuesday night, I'm trying to think of what we called it now. Eddie, can you remember what we called it? What now? No. Especially, there's one coming up. It's like it was a toolbox or something. I can't remember. But come on, back. First aid kit. I think it's first aid. Christian first aid. So come on back. You stop the bleeding. Thank you. There you go. Thank you, Beth. This Tuesday night, we're going to start a little series called Stop the Bleeding. Stop the Bleeding. That means it's not.